Well, good morning. Welcome to Morning Teen Allegations. This is your host, Petty B, otherwise known as Bianca Goolsby. And thank y'all for tuning in to today's episode. Today's episode is episode 9. Wow, I can't believe it, in season 2. And today's episode is called Technical Foul. Mm-hmm. So I just want to say good morning. I hope that everyone is having a fabulous Friday. I've been up early this morning because, you know, I was told that I need to be on the radio to listen into Superintendent Addison Davis in Hillsborough County. And we're going to get into all of that, trust and believe. But first, y'all already know how I rock. We're going to go ahead and get and start it with the church announcements. Amen. 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 Okay. So let me go ahead and put that up. So the church announcements as follows. So, okay, November 3rd. Now, I don't know if you watched the debate. I'm not understanding why we had such a debacle about, you know, the mic and muting the mic situation when evidently like it was never done. So I don't understand what all the hoopla was about when they continued to talk over each other. It wasn't as bad as it was before. But again, I go back to this, like people lie, receipts don't. And those fact checkers at CNN was working extra hard. And it's just similar to how I be fact checking these candidates around here because they be lying. Okay. So please make sure that you exercise your right to vote. It is very, very important. So there is several early voting. Please make sure that you are out here to vote and exercise your right. Okay, please. It is vital. Also, just want to give a shout out to the Sunshine Education Coalition. They had an event last night and they launched their School to Prison Pipeline event. And I just want to give a shout out to them. Please make sure you go visit them at sunshineeducationcoalition.org or check them out on Facebook. I will post the link. And so shout out to the squad. It's a privilege to be a part of the movement, and thank y'all so much for your support. And I'm so excited to support them in this venture on dismantling the school to prison pipeline in Hillsborough County when they lead the state. Hillsborough County leads the state, folks. So it's very, very important. I worked in Hillsborough County. I have a vested interest in Hillsborough County because I worked in the district. I know what it's like, and I've seen exactly what the teachers have been talking about, and I'm here for it. Okay. Next thing on the church announcement is I'm going to play my disclaimer. And, you know, I've been playing my disclaimer. I've changed up a little bit from season 1, but it's still the same disclaimer. Okay. I don't understand why people want to create these fake pages and they want to get froggy with me and expect that I'm not going to get froggy back. And then also, I don't understand why people think that I'm going to engage with you when you don't even have an accurate profile picture. You don't have a legal name on social media. Like, I'm not going to go back and forth with somebody anonymous on the internet. So let me go ahead and complete these church announcements and disclaimers, and I will be right back. Thank you, church members, as we have additional announcements and disclaimers that require your full attention. I report the news, so don't try me with the copyright. In addition, the views and opinions on Morning Teen Allegations belong to me. If you have any questions, bring your receipts so that we can talk. If you get froggy with me, don't expect me to go high and be the bigger person. I will clap back and sage later. God is still working on me. Thank you for your attention and govern yourselves accordingly. Amen. This episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN is the best way that you can securely go on the web without your information being tracked. Stay private with a VPN and go to the link www.biancagoolsby.com/VPN. It's a 30-day free trial, so there's nothing to lose. Okay, so again, today's episode, welcome to Morning Teen Allegations. If you just hopped on, good morning, and I hope that you're having a great Friday. I want to go ahead and we're going to talk about technical fouls. But before we talk about technical fouls, I think it's important that we define what that is. So that way, everyone on the episode and for the people that's watching the replay, shout out to y'all. Thank y'all. I just want to just explain what technical foul is so that we all have a clear understanding of what that is. So let's go ahead and let me go ahead and cue up, you know, us going to class because it's important. Come on, man. This is the stuff I'm talking about. There we go. All right. So, technical foul. It is a violation of a certain rules of the game, usually not involving physical contact. That is the definition of technical foul. We're going to be using that for today's episode while I review several technical fouls that has been taking place in Hillsborough County, particularly this episode, because there's a lot going on, a lot of foolishness, and I can't keep up with Pinellas and Manatee County. There's a petition out there with Manatee County. I will post that in the link about removing board members and their negligence and what's happening with the superintendent there that should have been removed a long time ago, but that's a whole nother saga for another day. And then Pinellas County is their traditional foolishness with the, you know, simultaneous teaching and just the overload that the teachers are facing, which is the same issue that many of the districts across the state of Florida is experiencing right now due to COVID-19. So technical foul, we're talking about Hillsborough County today because there's a lot going on. And good morning to y'all. Thank y'all. I see y'all and I appreciate y'all checking in. Please make sure that you leave a comment. Let me know that you're in here and just say, hey, good morning. Happy Friday to you. Okay. So now that we have a clear understanding of technical fouls and what, you know, what they are, let's go ahead and start with technical foul number one. So technical foul number one was the radio appearance of Addison Davis this morning. Okay. So this morning, QYK of 99.5 FM, that was a technical foul. Okay. So Addison Davis was on the radio this morning and he was talking about how he inherited a lot of these issues. And so he had to make cuts and it was very the same general broad information that he has been telling the community, but nothing really defined. Meanwhile, there's Facebook groups out here where there's different educators that's saying that I've been cut. You know, today's the last day that my students will see me. I don't know what's going to happen to me on Monday. I have less than 24 hours to respond to the pull request. These are the things that is all over social media where educators are speaking out and support professionals are speaking out about what's happening in the district. Meanwhile, you know, the superintendent is also talking about how, like, oh, everything is going to work out great. The transition, we're only getting rid of temporary teachers. Well, I go back to, like, there's an 8-year veteran teacher that was cut. Was she temporary? I don't know. There was a at the board meeting, there was a particular employee that actually spoke out and was expressing her real life experience. She was called into the principal's office and she had to put her name and the other employee had to put their name in a hat. And the principal had to pick a name out of the hat. And she literally watched as someone else's name was pulled out of a hat, and therefore she no longer has a job and she's unsure what's going to happen next. And she has not been given any clear guidance or instruction. Meanwhile, the board members are having these celebrations. They're laughing, carrying on and having a good time. But yet there's employees that are watching this meeting to figure out what is going on because they don't know where they're going to report on Monday. They don't know how they're going to provide for their family because of the issue that's happening in Hillsborough County. And the leaders are gaslighting and saying that, oh, well, this just happened. You know, this is happening all over the nation. Well, I don't know what other school district had to take a loan to meet payroll. Now, that's just beyond me. I haven't seen it. So if anyone could provide any receipts, I would gladly accept it. But I'm just saying it don't make sense. It don't. Mm-hmm. So, this a lot and it's sad. And I'm seeing the comments and, you know, I'm seeing the reactions with the tears. And I just want to just take this moment to kind of just divert from the technical foul situation. This is real life, folks. I'm talking about people's real life. They are messaging me their stories. I've posted several stories on my personal Facebook page and also my platform, Teaching for the Culture, of educators' lives being ripped apart. You have families that are dealing with anxiety, some which had to go to the hospital dealing with the stress and trauma that is taking place in Hillsborough County. This is not a game. And people are playing games with this situation and making it seem like this is normal, that this is okay, and it's not. And I understand that COVID has really dampened a lot of industries and what's happening, but we need to be very transparent about what's happening. And we need to be very truthful when we are doing transparency, because it's one thing to say I'm being transparent and just give a bunch of lies. You have to be truthful. And you have to be accountable. And the board members are just sitting here as though the superintendent is supposed to be fixing all of this, but yet they were out here campaigning for y'all to vote for them so that they can balance the budget and hold the superintendent accountable. What are the board members doing about this? All I see is that, you know, they're celebrating, they're taking pictures of their shoes at, you know, different board meetings and really carrying on as if this is okay. And it's not okay. Our teachers deserve better. Our support staff deserve better. And most importantly, our children. Our children are being ripped away from their favorite teachers. And meanwhile, you have Superintendent Addison Davis on the radio saying that music departments aren't getting cut and these things are not getting cut, but yet it's happening. So are the teachers lying or is the superintendent lying? And then you have board members that want to say there's misinformation. And I'm just trying to figure out what misinformation is it. So I just want to just take this moment just to say for the educators and support staff that are watching and don't know what's going to happen to you on Monday, that I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your situation. And I promise you that I'm doing everything that I can in my capacity to hold these people accountable for what they've said and what they did according to the receipts. But right now, it's a stressful time for a lot of our educators, and I just want to hold space for that and to let the educators know that you're not alone. There are several of you that might not know each other, but you're in the same boat, and I'm praying for you daily, and my inbox is always open, and my inbox is a safe space, as I've identified. So please just let me know how I can support. And I will also link a video with Shields Middle School. I posted the video on my YouTube page. I posted the video on my Facebook page of the YouTube video from Shields Middle School. And you can see the children speaking out about their favorite teachers leaving and how there were several positions at Shields Middle School that was cut. And they tagged me in the video on Twitter. And that's how I was able to see it. And I watched the video and I teared up because the kids are speaking out in this video. The educators are speaking out in this video. Yet you have a superintendent that's saying that, you know, this is just a usual thing that we do. And it's not. This is not normal and it's not okay. And for the board members to just completely be ignorant to the fact of what's happening. And this is why I started Teaching for the Culture. And this is why it is important that we are intentional with school board races, that we're intentional with who you select to be in these school board seats, because education is the foundation of everything. And I just wanted to just take that moment to just let the people know that this is real. This is real life and it's impacting real people in a real way. And I just don't understand the games and I don't understand the lies that's taking place. And just be accountable. Be accountable and be truthful with this, because it's really gaslighting to the educators and support staff when you're painting these narratives that are not true. And it just really hurts my heart for the educators that are in my inbox just telling me all the stuff that's happening. And there's nothing that I could do about it but raise hell on the internet and hope that it garners attention. And it has garnered some attention, some good and some bad. But at the end of the day, this is for the kids. And the kids deserve better, and so do our staff. Let me reset. So we're back to the technical foul. So with Superintendent Addison Davis, you know, he said that these issues were inherited. So I want to go back because, you know, there was a whole letter. And when you say inherited, it makes it seem like it was from, you know, Jeff Akins. That's what it sounded like. So I just want to go ahead and just share the receipt from Jeff Akins, because Jeff Akins had came out because he was blamed about this before. And he said, what you're not going to do is you're not going to put this on me. And so let's go ahead and share this letter. So this letter is dated July 13, 2020, and he sent this to the board members. And he was very concerned about the misinformation that was spread at the board meeting about him and his credibility and what happened. He sent the receipts of what was happening with the increase of employees. And he was saying that this has nothing to do with me. I'm concerned as why we're talking about, you know, the general fund balance. This is not something that we talk about so early. And I just want to just read this little last part that he said in this message, because it's going to lead me to something else. He said, "That being said, I serve a God of grace. The grace that he shows me is the same grace that I am required to extend to others. While speaking for the final time to our incredible principals in March, I expressed to them that one of the most powerful traits that they can possess as a leader is the ability to extend grace. Throughout my career, I've learned when I extended grace as a leader, I was better able to heal relationships, provide confidence to those who may have fallen short of a goal, or help someone right or wrong by offering them a second chance. Time and time again, I have seen grace by the catalyst and allows an even greater story to be written. So as we move forward, may we all remember the grace we have been shown and seek opportunities to show others the same. I wish you the best as you move forward through these challenging times. May God grant you the wisdom necessary to serve the needs of Hillsborough County's amazing students and staff. Sincerely, Jeff Akins." I'm going to post the link to this receipt so that you can actually read the letter in its entirety that Jeff Akins provided to the board, because he was accused of mismanagement and he posted the receipts and said no. In fact, what I find interesting about the matter is that there are several articles where they were celebrating celebrating Jeff Akins for, you know, making the necessary cuts to balance his budget. So I'm not sure what happened between the time of Jeff Akins and Addison Davis. And these are the questions that we need answered. But this is on the board. The board is responsible for this budget. So I don't understand why these board members are on the record saying that we're going to look to you, superintendent, to fix this, when the board needs to be having a finance committee meeting to go and review the finances to figure out what is going on and how they can hold the superintendent accountable to ensure that it's done moving forward. So I don't understand what's happening and why we don't understand the roles and duties of a school board member, but the budget is on the board. That is their job. And so the last financial committee that they had was on June 9th, 2020. I don't understand why the last financial committee meeting they had was in June. We're now in October, getting ready to hit November. And that was the last meeting that they had. So the question that y'all need to ask is to these three committee members, which Tamara Schamberger is listed first. Next is Steve Kona and then Melissa Snively. These three individuals that serve on the school board that y'all have elected and voted for to be in these seats. These are the three individuals that you need to look to hold accountable for, one, the finance committee, because they meet with the CFO, Gretchen Saunders. And then they are supposed to report these finances to the board as a whole so that they can make decisions. This is why they have committees. Not everyone's involved in the finances. They have committees for this. This is all published on their website. So when I talk about this, people say, "Oh, well, you're bashing candidates." No, I'm not bashing candidates. I'm literally providing the information that is on a public website from Hillsborough County Public Schools. Now, if you don't like the information, I have nothing to do with that. But I'm providing you the information that there is a finance committee that meets with the CFO, Gretchen Saunders. And the last meeting that they had was on June 9th, 2020. So they have not had another meeting after that. There was no other meeting scheduled, according to the website. So what is the finance committee doing? And how are they protecting your taxpayers' dollars? Because remember that this is not a private entity. Your tax dollars, if you live in Hillsborough County, belongs here. Let's move on. I'm also going to post an article with the Tampa Bay Times that actually covered this too, with the letter with Jeff Akins, so that y'all can definitely read it and understand. But I'll just kind of share the headline so you can actually see what it looks like. But it says that the former Hillsborough school chief, Jeff Akins, seeks to clear his name and talks about the letter that he wrote about the misallocation of payroll. And so that's there for y'all to read. And this has been going for a while now. So I don't understand why we're still here and we're fumbling on the answers. This is why I believe that we need a forensic audit and we need someone that's completely separated from the district and to literally go line by line and explain these expenditures and explain what's happening in the district in a way that the taxpayers can understand. Because at the end of the day, they can come up with all these words and say these things to say that, yeah, like we're allocating here. But like, for example, the PPE, for example, like, you know, I requested invoices for some of the items that they purchased. And as I've shown y'all, some of those invoices doesn't make sense. So then it then dives deeper to that. Well, how many other invoices that don't make sense? And are y'all paying these amounts without board approval? What's happening? And this is why y'all have to ask the questions. I get the receipts. I tell y'all these receipts in black and white. And parents, you are the ultimate stakeholder. Please use your voice and advocate for your children. Advocate for your children's teacher. It is vital in this time. There's educators that are afraid to speak out due to retaliation. That is real. It exists. And so, but then we always talk about grace. And I just don't understand why we talk about grace, but we're not really extending grace. So let's just roll the clip of the technical foul number two from the school board members. So let's go ahead and roll the clip.
Tack on to that real briefly, because what member Schamberger said and what you were saying about just bringing things out. One, grace. One of the speakers today talked about how you don't have a relationship. You're not from here. You don't know this district. You don't have a relationship. As if you don't care to have a relationship, which really I take offense to, because I know if people, unfortunately, COVID has created a situation where people can't really get to know you. But the people who have worked around you that do know you and are getting to know you and see the passion, I had principals tell me the first time that you were able to see them face to face and speak with them face to face, they understood the passion that you have for this district and how much you care for this district. And so what I'm asking teachers is for some grace, because you didn't have the same start to your career in Hillsborough County as most superintendents would have. Yes, you came from the outside, but you know, first day we shut down schools and you didn't get to go out like a normal superintendent would and start creating relationships face to face. You can Zoom all day and you can get on the phone, but it's not the same. It's not the same when you have a face to face interaction with someone. And so you really were at a disadvantage from day one coming into this district, not just from because you came from the outside of this district, which some would consider that a disadvantage. I thought it actually was an advantage for this school district and this board to have a fresh set of eyes come into this district with a lot of excellent experience and an incredible resume that some people haven't had chance to get to know. So, but I would ask for between just community in general, not just teachers, but parents and community members and everyone whose life touches the school district in any way who hasn't had a chance to get to know you, please have some grace until you can get to know Mr. Davis. Thank you. Okay. And I'm going to defend you, and people have criticized me for defending you, but you know what? I'm one of the people that hired you. And the reason that we hired you, I can only speak for myself. It was a unanimous vote, but the reason I chose to hire you is because I knew you were the right person for this job. And it took us almost 6 to 8 months. It was the whole selection process. And so I am not about to throw that out the window. I'm going to defend you, and I'm going to make sure that I can do whatever I can control, whatever I can do to support you so that you are successful. Because when you're successful, then the team is successful, this group is successful, and most importantly, the students are successful. And so I will continue to do what I can, and I will encourage the board members to continue to support you so that you can be successful in the school district. Because I hope that we don't scare you away. I don't think we will, because I know your personality, but I certainly have no intention of letting you walk away from this district anytime soon.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Moving along then. All right. The following items will now be heard.
Oh, I gotta go to my agenda.
Oh, we have an agenda. There's an agenda. Sorry. We have some business to do here. Finally. First one. Okay, the following items are now going to be heard on the regular agenda.
So, technical foul number two is the laughing and the carrying on that took place at the meeting. And there was someone that posted something in the comment. Let me go back. The man could have taken 5 minutes at that meeting the other night to express some of that type of compassion for the situation, but he didn't. Instead, all we got was a bunch of inappropriate, nervous laughter and a PowerPoint. And this is not acceptable. It's not acceptable at all. And that was the conversation and the movement of this board for that entire meeting. And I was really disappointed at some board members in particular that was complicit in that. Instead of saying, hey, actually, we really need to be focused. This is not a laughing matter. There's teachers and support staff that are losing their job, have lost their job, and they don't know what they're going to do come Monday. And they're not getting really transparent answers about what's happening next for them. And it's causing anxiety and the low morale in the district. And I'm just appalled at the way that that board meeting was carried out. I am appalled at the way that Melissa Snively wanted to say that we need to exercise grace. But we're not exercising grace when y'all send a pool proxy letter to the employees at 7 o'clock at night. Marie Whalen was sitting there with her laptop out, and I'm pretty sure she was sending more stuff with HR, which how she still has a job is beyond me. And then they had less than 24 hours to respond. That's not grace. So technical foul number two is the way that many educators felt gaslit from Addison Davis. And then when Melissa Snively had said that there was misinformation out there, I'm just trying to figure out, well, what misinformation is out there, Melissa? Please explain it to us. Please clear up the misinformation that's out there, because we are confused. We don't know what's happening, and the teachers don't know what's happening. And yet you want to talk about exercising grace. And my messages literally are like this, where I'm getting screenshots, pictures of just people that are in trauma right now because they don't know what's next. To Liz's point, F grace. Technical foul number three is achieve 3,000. Now, it's important that we have correct narratives here, because, you know, I'm hearing all of these different narratives with Achieve 3000. And so I'm going to just give y'all a hint. So this is how the board like to rock. So if you have anything that's slightly incorrect about any particular issue, they will say that you're completely wrong and that there's misinformation, and not be accountable for some of the pieces in the puzzle that are correct. Okay. It is a strategy that the communications department do all the time. And this is why they try to, remove articles that are bad press, because it's like one little thing that they don't agree with and they feel as though the whole thing needs to be removed. Well, so let's clear up Achieve 3000 in a different way. Now, if you follow me personally on my Facebook page and you have access to my story, I went in yesterday because I was fed up. And I talked about the Achieve 3000, and I posted some receipts from my conversation with Addison Davis about it, because when it took place, I reached out to him and I said, hey, bro, like, come on, like, what's going on with this? He advised me the same narrative that he told the board members, that there was no financial impact to his brother. He did not know his brother worked there at the time. And so he did not have a close relationship with his brother to know that he moved to Achieve 3000. This was what was communicated to me and several board members. Now, Melissa said that she wanted to talk about Achieve 3000 to clear the air because she was tired of hearing about it. And like I said on my story, sis, I don't care what you want to hear or what you don't want to hear about. You are a board member and you are advocating for your constituents. And if your constituents have more questions about Achieve 3000, then it is your duty to ask those questions. But instead, you out here playing games with these fake questions, and
you are fake news.
Right. So here's the question. So the root question that Melissa should have asked in that whole situation, if you go back to the board meeting, it was very awkward. And I don't know if y'all watched it too, but it was awkward for me watching it because, you know, they're giggling and laughing. Like, none of this is funny. Like, I don't think any of this is entertaining. So the root question is, did you know that your brother was an executive of Achieve 3000 at the time you brought this before the board? Yes or no? Then they talked about how there's an affidavit, and I'm glad that you brought that up. Okay. So then the question, what the affidavit was, you know, could he put it on the website? And he basically said that, you know, you could do a public records request to get the affidavit. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go do a public records request to go see this affidavit that allegedly, was in regards to this Achieve 3000, because, you know, I do think that there needs to be transparency with that. And that's the root question. Did he know that his brother worked at Achieve 3000 at the time he brought it before the board? Yes or no? Yes or no? Like, that is a simple question. And if you knew that your brother worked there, the root issue of all of this is transparency. The issue is transparency. But then on top of that, if you knew Hillsborough County, you would know that Hillsborough County is currently under a literacy audit because we are failing our kids when it comes to reading. We are on the lowest 300 list for our reading scores, and we have the most schools in the lowest 300 list, and it's in Hillsborough County. Literacy is a big problem in Hillsborough County, and this is why there's a whole bunch of technical fouls with that that's going to lead me to something else. So with Achieve 3000, basically, allegedly, the brother did not receive any type of kickback or anything with that. And the question of the hour is, did you know that your brother worked there at the time? Yes or no? And that wasn't the question that was asked directly. And so I can only go by what he said. He said no, but then he said a whole bunch of stuff. And then I find out he lying, and I'm like, bruh. So I don't know what's real and what's not at this point. So all I could do is try to get the receipts in black and white and go from there. But like I always tell y'all, people lie, receipts don't, and you got to go get your receipts. Because at the end of the day, people be playing games and no one has time for that. Okay. Technical foul number four. Do y'all know who is over the foundation of literacy in Hillsborough County? So I want you guys to meet Megan and Ann. So Megan was promoted to be the supervisor of the kindergarten through second grade literacy. Her previous role was an assistant principal at Clay County Schools. And was promoted to the supervisors of election. I'm sorry. Ooh, I read that so wrong. And was promoted to the supervisor of grades 3 through 5 of literacy. Her previous role was the professional learning specialist in Clay County Schools. Their effective date was July 1st, 2020. Okay. So Megan and Ann, they come from Clay County. And so both of them are over and they are the supervisor of literacy from kindergarten through fifth grade. Now, this is why this is important, because, again, I talked about Anne on episode 7 of season 2. So please go back and look at that. And the reason why I was talking about Anne was because of the issue with Common Core Kingdom. If you don't remember what I was talking about. Some educators had sent me some receipts of how they had used materials from Teachers Pay Teachers, and they were distributing this content that they did not pay for and have the licensing for to distribute in Hillsborough County. So I reached out to Julie, who is over in the founder of Common Core Kingdom. And I had asked her on Teachers Pay Teachers, did she provide Hillsborough County a license for them to distribute her material in Canvas? And she identified no. So I'm working with Julie to help her secure the check, because, again, I don't understand. And I don't understand why these people that I just mentioned from Clay County, why do they have, you know, why do they move here? Why do they move here to be over literacy when we have reading teachers in the district that have more certifications than them in reading? And yet they're over literacy. And we have an issue with literacy. So I would think if you're going to hire someone over literacy, they at least should have, you know, a certification in reading. They should at least have some, you know, history with dealing with, you know, literacy. But Anne, she comes from a science background. I posted all of this in, you know, in episode 7. So please go back to episode 7 so y'all can see it. So the fact that these two people from Clay County that have now moved to Hillsborough County with Addison Davis. My question is, are they endorsed and certified in reading? Well, I pulled up the records and I don't see any certification in reading. So I'm not sure how you're over literacy and you don't have an endorsement or certification in reading. Now, they might have did a reading endorsement and it hasn't kicked in yet, because there are some teachers that are fighting to get this reading endorsement. And there's a whole debacle with that. But they're not certified in reading. They have not taken their certification test in reading. There is a question on the floor. Are they endorsed in reading in ESOL? One is endorsed in ESOL. The other one is not. And they're not endorsed. When I pulled up the thing, it doesn't say anything about reading on there. On their listing at all. It doesn't say list anything about reading. But one of them do, they're endorsing ESOL, but I didn't see anything about reading at all. So I will post a receipt so that y'all can see it yourselves. But that is who's over the foundation of literacy. So I go back to, you know, Addison Davis, and he was like, you know, he's made intentional decisions with, you know, hiring people in the district. I just go back to the question then. So you have these people that are over literacy that, you know, came from Clay County, and we have issues where we need some strong people to be over our literacy, especially in our primary stages, because we are leading lists for our reading scores because we just haven't gotten it together. And there are several schools in District 5 that are on the bottom of the list, at the very bottom of the list. So it's just really sad. And I just really hope that people are intentional. And that just reminds me, like, so all these hires are intentional, Addison Davis. So I guess we not going to talk about, you know, how Michael Kemp's wife got a job and Terry Connor's wife got a job, and, you know, also the whole family moved to Hillsborough County too.
Oh, hell no.
But that is a whole nother technical foul. I'm trying to keep these shows just an hour. I could talk about this all day. So technical foul number 5. We're talking about the political ties with MGT and our board members. So I want to go ahead and talk about this particular issue and share this link. And it ties back into reading. So 4 Hillsborough schools get an external operator. It actually is now 8. So there's that. But I just want to go ahead and just kind of touch on this. This article was published August 14th, 2019. I want you to keep in mind these dates because it's a lot going on with that. Okay. So in this article, it talks about MGT, and it talks about, you know, how they have political ties and that MGT is coming to take over several of our schools. Well, we had an external operator, Phelan. Phelan actually did not perform out of the 3, out of the 4 schools that they had. There was 3 that declined under their watch. There's a whole nother saga with Phelan that I don't want to get into today, but basically some more foolishness. But we're here now with MGT. There's a pending contract with the district. It's around $4.1 million. Please don't quote me directly, but I think it's $4.1 million. But nonetheless, I just want to talk about it because there was people that brought this information in my inbox, and I posted this on social media before, but I wanted to talk about this in a different way so that people can understand like how serious this is, so that we can get some answers and transparency. So this company with political ties is in our district. They have a contract for our failing schools, our schools. And we have board members that say we're closing the achievement gap, but yet we need external operators because the district haven't gotten it together. Okay, so let's go ahead. And I just want to share these receipts here because I just want to know why MGT and how we had to follow the money from Texas. And why did MGT give several people a check? And they were cutting several people a check. So I just want to go ahead and just post who got a check. So I just want to show you MGT, okay, is the donor. And then they had payees and expenditures. So MGT donated $7,000 into this PAC. And then the PAC had cut checks for several people on here. So you will see that there's a Florida for Conservative Values. That's a PAC. Addison Davis, an individual, have questions on that. Then you have Steve Kona. You have Cindy Stewart, Mitch Thrower. Okay. So let's go one by one because it's really, really important. So Addison Davis, he received a check, February 6th of 2019. Now, mind you, go back to this date here. This external operator was in August 2019. Now, I went through the Clay County information as much as I could. I could not see them having any type of working relationship with MGT. So I'm not sure how or why, looking at the date of this, how he was able to receive $1,000 from this PAC, which the money was derived from MGT. In order to distribute that. So I don't know. And then next I go to Steve Kona. So Steve Kona, he received the money after the contract was signed and it's for his campaign for him to be reelected. Okay. He received $1,000. Next you have Cindy Stewart, which she received $1,000, but it went to her clerk of court race. So I don't understand, you know, what that's all about. And then lastly, you have Mitch Thrower, which is not even a board member. So I don't understand why he's getting a check with MGT in this situation, and he's not even a board member. So I don't understand why he's getting a check in this. So this is the money. Like, this is the money from Texas. They got this money and it's on their campaign report. And we just want to know why. And we want to know why because they have a contract with the district for $4.1 million. So why are y'all getting checks of $1,000 from the same company that I have questions on that. And the reason why we have this external operator is because the district has failed our children. If the district was doing what they were supposed to be doing, we wouldn't have an external operator. We wouldn't be paying for this. We wouldn't have the state mandate to hold us to this standard and hold us to this expectation. This is state mandated because we haven't been doing what we have been supposed to be doing. And I say we because this is a collective effort. But it's really on the leadership of the board and the district leadership at this point. We've been failing our children. Now we have an external operator and then y'all getting checks on the back end because of it. It's just morally wrong. I just don't understand. And it's sad. It's really sad, the games that's playing. And I just want to know why y'all getting checks. And then I want to know, you know, from the date of, you know, Addison's check, like, why did he get a check? There's so many questions. So I need y'all to follow the money and really ask questions because it's a lot. And what angers me the most really is with Steve Kona and with Cindy Stewart. And the reason why is because they are on the board and the schools have been declining in Hillsboro. And this is why we need an external operator. And this is why it angers me so much when you have candidates that are alleging that we're closing the achievement gap. How are we closing the achievement gap when we lead the state in our school to prison pipeline? How are we? Listen, let me just pose the data. We have 39 elementary schools that are on the state's lowest 300 list for reading. And we've been leading that list for years. 13 out of the 48 schools that's on the state's list of the persistently low performing schools, which is a whole different list within the lowest 300 list. Hillsborough County has the most out of all the districts in the state of Florida. And then there's 53% of students in Hillsborough that are reading on level. So a little over half than all the students in Hillsborough County are on reading level. And if you actually break that down by zip code and by achievement school, which is transition school now, transformation school, I'm sorry, you would be alarmed at one school out of the whole third grade students that took the FSA, only 9% passed. I will link the achievement school video again. I broke down the data and I went school by school when they were called the achievement schools. And y'all can go look at the data. I can't make this up. I'm not trying to make this up. I'm not trying to make this seem worse than what it is. Like, this is the reality. We have issues with our literacy. We have issues with, you know, our kids reading. And this is why it angers me that we have people from Clay County that don't even have all of their certifications and endorsements to really be effective at their job. And it just kind of leads me to believe that they really don't know what they're doing, especially considering the fact that y'all have a whole copyright infringement situation that's coming down the pipeline because y'all decided to steal materials from Teachers Pay Teachers and to put it in Canvas. The supervisors did that. So, you know, they need to be held accountable for disseminating copyrighted material. And then yet We talk about how we shouldn't use materials from Teachers Pay Teachers because, you know, this, that, and the third. But yet here y'all go. It's in Canvas. And y'all are forcing these teachers to use this material, copyrighted material that you didn't pay for. And it's messed up and it's wrong. And if you lie, you could cheat. And then if you could cheat, you could steal. So my grandma taught me that. And I just want to just pause for a moment because I just seen some on social media that's separate and apart from this live. But if you're not intentional with our kids,
shut up,
please, because I'm really tired of these people just coming out the woodwork talking about what our kids need and what our kids don't need. And you've never stepped a pinky toe in the classroom. In fact, some of you have criminal records where you can't even step a pinky toe in the classroom. So I don't even understand why y'all doing all this talking and all this noise. Just stop it, because our children deserve better, and they deserve better with these games that's being played, which is going to lead me to a whole nother technical foul. But we on number five and we moving on to number six. Technical foul number six is about the budget. Now, it is clear that we're not getting clear answers about what's happening with the money, and that's unacceptable. And I just want to remind you again that this is not a private entity. The question of the hour, and this was brought up on Surly Feminist for the Revolution. There was someone that had called in and asked, you know, are we receiving, you know, a return on investment with what we're paying? And there was a, you know, taxpayer, he owns property in Hillsborough County, and he was talking about how, you know, his property taxes are paying for education, but is he receiving a return on investment? So I want to pose that question to my viewers here. You know, did you receive a return on investment? Did your children receive the best education with your money? And if not, then you need to demand answers. These board members, they ran for office to advocate for your children and to make fiscally responsible decisions. And don't just accept them deferring to the superintendent for answers. It's their job to get the answers, and it's their job to correct the issue. They hold the superintendent accountable to ensure that that happens. But balancing the budget and making sure that the district is financially stable, that just doesn't fall on the superintendent. That falls on the board members that was out here advocating, telling you to vote for me because I'm going to make sure that the school district is in line. And now all of a sudden when stuff hits the fan, y'all want to defer to the superintendent and make him take this heat. But we've been having issues with the money prior to him coming in. So at the end of the day, we got to stop playing. We got to follow the money. And y'all need to make sure that y'all getting a return on your investment. Because I'm telling you, our children, they're being set up to fail. And it's just really sad. It's really, really sad. Let's move on to technical foul number seven.
Bruh.
Can we please stop lying about the data with the school district to mislead people? Okay, can we please stop that? Because, you know, it's just so disheartening when we have these conversations and we talk about, you know, we're closing the achievement gap and, you know, our kids are leading the pack and, you know, there's no other option. We have tried and true leadership on the board. Well, if that is the case, don't understand why we're taking out a loan to meet payroll, why we're cutting teachers and not being transparent about it, why we have people that are not certified in certain positions that are making six figures, why we are not holding the superintendent accountable for what he says and what he does. And then meanwhile, y'all are parading on social media, y'all taking pictures, doing photo ops and everything else, acting as if that you're doing your job. My question goes back to the finance committee. That's all I can keep going to, because when I look to find someone accountable, I say, okay, well, the board holds the superintendent accountable. So, okay, I'm not going to go to the superintendent because there's someone that's over the superintendent and there's the board members that are over the superintendent. Okay. So when we talk about the financial situation, there's a committee that talks about the finances. So then I go back to the finance committee of the board. I keep going back to this because that is the logical solution for me. So go back to the finance committee. You have Tamara Schamberger, who's listed as the lead of the finance committee, along with Steve Kona and Melissa Snively. The last meeting was on June 9, 2020. Again, my question is, where's the money? And what are y'all doing as the finance committee of the board? Because the money is your responsibility. What are y'all doing? That's all I can go to. And when you're going to talk about what you're going to do, don't be out here and giving out these fake numbers. For example, with the PPE, we talk about, you know, oh, we spent this amount on PPE. Well, then I request invoices of all the PPE for two items. Y'all can go reference back some of the other episodes, and I'll link the article that I did about it. But y'all, the invoices don't add up. It don't. So I don't know what's gonna happen. I don't know what people are gonna do. Other than all I could do is just present the truth to you, and you can take the truth, you take the receipt, and ask questions. That's all I'm here to do. I'm just here to do the research for y'all to go advocate for this, and I will advocate with you. But the receipts don't add up. So when we talk about following the money and we're spending X amount on PPE and we're spending X amount on making sure that, you know, we have these programs and we're making sure, like, we need to have a line item. We need to go line by line to make sure that the taxpayers understand this, because they don't. They don't understand it, and it's wrong. And it leads me to my last technical foul for today's episode. And this is just going to be just uncut at this point, because I'm fed up. There's a lot of dirty politics that's taking place, especially in the school board District 5 race in Hillsborough County. That is the nastiest race that I've ever seen in my life. And mind you, I'm just hopping into this thing because, honestly, if, you know, they were doing right by the kids, I would probably still be working at Jenny's Middle School teaching our kids how to code, because that's what I do. There's narratives out there that I was terminated from my position. I was never terminated from Hillsborough County Public Schools. I'm not sure why we are still on that. I mean, literally, we're still on that. You have people still posting about this, although the receipts are out there clear as day that I wasn't terminated, but neither here nor there. This isn't about me. This is about the situation as a whole. The situation is this technical foul is this dirty politics, which is interfering with the movement of our children. And I'm not sure who's behind these fake pages that are coming up and these people just posting reckless stuff on the internet and calling it receipts. What we need to do is we need to have a conversation on what receipts are and what they're not. Because what we're not going to do is we're not going to use the term receipts and think that you're posting receipts, and it's an incorrect narrative and it's wrong. So let's talk about what receipts are. Receipts are information that is truthful, and it has an intent purpose to serve a greater good. Okay. So when you have a receipt and there's someone that lied and you post a receipt to say, hey, no, you actually lied, it's this, you serve a greater good because you're holding someone accountable. What is not a receipt is you decide to pull up someone's record from 4 years ago. They're not running for anything. They're not, an elected official. They're just a regular person. And you out here just posting this information and you're calling it a receipt. But then I want to know, what is the greater good of that? What is your intent of doing that? Is it to humiliate someone, or are you trying to educate someone? I don't, it's really unclear what the intent is. So you posted this man's mugshot from 4 years ago, which he's not running for office. He doesn't have any, I don't understand what the intention is. Then you make fake accusations about me and my wife as if me and my wife are having issues or something. And if we were, that's our business. I'm not running for anything. My wife is elected, but she won her seat. So if you're going to hold her accountable for what she does after she's sworn in, but she's not sworn in. So I don't understand the intention with this. Then you go after Bishop Michelle B. Patty. She has a radio show. She said what she want. That's her radio show. She could say what she want. Are y'all upset with her for saying what she want to say? And y'all going after people with incorrect narratives and making up lies for no reason. You're making up lies and saying that, you know, we conspired to have Addison Davis, you know, be the superintendent of schools. It's just so coincidental that I had explained that process in that situation well before somebody with an incorrect narrative decided that they wanted to add random people on Facebook and start the post. I'm getting screenshots of what the people, you know, think it is, who's behind it. I don't know. And quite honestly, I don't care. But what I do care about is that our children are suffering, and now is not the time to be playing these games. Now is not the time to be playing dirty politics. Enough is enough. Enough been enough. Y'all literally have an active school board member, the incumbent Tamara Schamburger, that has made an accusation about Shaq Washington committing a crime and then says that she has a video of said crime. When someone reached out to her about the crime, she says she turned the video over to the police. Now, the question is, what police department did you turn it into? Because now I want to request public records to see if you contacted the police about it, because you made an accusation about this man. You can't do that. And then you're upset. And you out here talking about your yard signs. Shake yard signs have been vandalized. I get pictures all the time where his stuff get destroyed, his stuff go missing, and it's removed from people's homes. But I don't see Shake Washington posting about his yard signs. Y'all going back and forth about a stupid yard sign? This is what we're doing in 2020. Our kids can't read. We have kids that's missing. We don't have internet in some of our locations. Our families are suffering. And y'all out here playing games. Playing games on the backs of our children. And y'all wonder why our children are not doing well. Look at the community. Why all of a sudden, when we hold people accountable, y'all want to talk about unity and how we all need to be one accord. But when all this chaos and this foolishness is happening, y'all want to sit silent. Keep that same energy. Some of y'all have been quiet about the education system for well too long. And now all of a sudden, because it's become a popular topic, y'all want to talk about it? Shut up. If you have not been intentional with figuring out about this system, if you have not been in this system, if you don't know what's going on, shut up. You're not helping. You're harming the situation because you're coming out here with incorrect narratives and you're creating chaos. And then y'all want to scream unity at the end of the day after your hands aren't clean. All I do is post receipts. And if you're upset with that, I don't care. The thing is, this fight is for the kids. It's not about anybody personally. And I've told y'all for the millionth time, I don't have no personal issue with Tamara Schamburger, but she darn sure has a personal issue with me. And I've attempted to have mediation with her, but she's a narcissist. And I will say that on the record, she's a narcissist. She models and she behaves just like Donald Trump. And if you don't believe that, and if you believe in what she's saying, then that's fine too. But I'm not here to go back and forth with anonymous profiles on the internet. And I'm not here to go back and forth with people that have this belief system that they're stuck with what they believe in. They don't want to process new information that's in front of them. That is not my responsibility. So at the end of the day, I'm just going to put this on the record and just say that enough is enough. It's enough. Y'all out here playing games. Y'all out here yelling at these polls. Y'all out here doing all this stuff. Whoop de whoop. Y'all paying these rappers to endorse you. And these rappers can't even vote because they out here rapping about crimes, committing crimes, and all that foolishness going on. And our kids are modeling the same behavior from these people that they look up to on Instagram. But we don't want to have a conversation about that. You have people in the community that's so worried about my zip code, where I live at, but don't even look at the concrete information that I'm telling you. I'm telling you the information that our kids are suffering. I'm telling you the data, and y'all still out here playing these games. So So I guess y'all are okay with the position that it's in. I guess y'all okay with our kids leading the state and our school to prison pipeline. I guess you're okay with Hillsborough County being on the list with the most schools on the lowest 300 list from the Florida Department of Education. I guess that y'all are okay with that, but I'm not, because I made a vow to my students at Jennings Middle School that I'm going to do everything in my power to fight for them. And that's what I'm going to do. But what we're not going to do is we're not going to play these games. We're not. So for Cato, if you involved in this, sir, you have bigger fish to fry, because you still out here campaigning for Tamara Schamburger on the Hillsborough County time. And you upset with me because I talk about it. Sir, what you don't need to do is violate the policy and I wouldn't have to talk about it. How about that? Elvis Piggott, you talking about, I had posted about receipts about he's a candidate. And I said, you know, his rap sheet longer than the CVS receipt. And it is. I didn't go post his rap sheet, but you can go look on Hills Clerk and go find it. So then I see a post that talk about CVS receipts. So I don't know if he's involved in it, but if you're involved in it, Elvis, you have bigger fish to fry, because from my understanding, you under investigation for assaulting an elderly woman. Tamara Schamburger, if you involved in this situation, sis, you got bigger fish to fry at this point. You have bigger fish to fry because you out here taking out loans for your campaign on your house, and now you don't know how you gonna pay stuff because you out here playing games, extorting people. Go look at the Form 6. You have sold out this community. You have Idea Public Schools that's coming to tear up East Tampa. They out here advertising, and I will show y'all the receipt. They actually was advertising on my website. You out here selling out, playing these games, and y'all upset with me, but I'm going to tell the truth. If you got receipts on me, let's talk about it. But I'm not running for no position. I'm here advocating for the kids. So at this point, this is beyond me. So all of this has to do about District 5 and y'all out here against Shade Washington. Shade Washington ain't do nothing to y'all. He ain't saying nothing to y'all. He just out here talking to the voters, and he just want to make a difference. And he needs a team of people to help him because he can't do it by himself, which is exactly what the role is supposed to be. But some of y'all have criminal records that can't even vote. So I don't even understand why y'all out here playing these games. Now, we could do this the easy way, or we could do it the hard way. But either way it goes, don't put my name in no mess because y'all upset. Don't do it. Because what we could do is we can go receipt for receipt, and we could talk about this situation if that's what y'all want to do. But what we're not going to do is we're not going to play these games in District 5. We have 11 days left. If you have not been intentional with our kids and y'all out here, just support your candidate. If you support Tamara Schamburger, support Tamara Schamburger, okay? Support who you support. But what we're not going to do is we're not going to say that Shade Washington was sending kids to jail when he's been, you know, the principal of the year several years in a row. He has a whole auditorium. He has a whole gym named after him. You're not about to tear this man's legacy because Tamara Schamburger don't have nothing to stand on. That's what we're not going to do. We're not going to play these games, and we're not going to do that. We out here taking a loan, and Tamara Schamburger on the finance committee and out here on the radio saying that they don't talk about the budget on the finance committee. Well, what are y'all talking about then, Tamara? What are y'all talking about? At this point, Tamara, I'm addressing you because this narrative about me being terminated, that was you, that was Cindy Stewart, that was Harrison Peters, that was all of y'all covering up this mess that was taking place at Jennings Middle School. So let's talk about that. And then there's some people that is getting involved in Tamara Schamburger's campaign to help her when they knew the situation and they knew what was going on in these schools. Where our kids are coming to school high, our kids can't read, our kids don't have a pencil, but they have a Bluetooth speaker. Our kids out here are taking a standardized assessment. And you know what? They still have to take a standardized assessment after this pandemic stuff. They still have to take a standardized test. And some of them can barely get on Zoom because the internet doesn't work. And now we're cutting teachers? But then y'all want to play these games on the internet. Y'all want to play these games. So at the end of the day, I have no mercy. I have no grace at this point. I'm done. So at the end of the day, all bets off. Y'all want to play these games, and I can play the games too, but I can play with receipts. Here we go. The question on the floor. How did her financial net worth increase so drastically? I got time today. What we're not going to do is we're not going to play this game. So while we're doing that, we're going to go ahead and call Tamara Schamburger to the front of the congregation while she out here playing these political games, because people don't have time. People don't have time for the foolishness that's taking place. People don't have time for this. There's kids out here suffering, and y'all out here and you doing everything possible for your seat because financially you need it. And I don't care about what you need financially. I care about these kids. And you out here loaning your campaign money and this, that, and the third. No, what we're not going to do is we're not going to play this game. We're not going to play this game, Tamara. So let's go ahead and let's pull it up. Out here playing. Okay, so this is the Form 6. This is of Tamara Schamberger. She's an elected official, and all elected officials have to complete a Form 6 to provide a full public financial disclosure to ensure that they are being ethical with what they're doing in their position, to ensure that they're not committing fraud and that they're not receiving back end stuff and that they're transparent. So let's talk about this, shall we? Because this is public record. So I want you to pay attention to the net worth in December 31st, 17 for $86K. That was her net worth. Now, if you go back to the previous years, you will see that that actually her net worth bumped up from that. Okay, her original net worth, let me not lie, I want to be very clear on what her net worth was. It was 48K. Let me show that. So just so for the people say you lying, they know I ain't lying. Y'all see that? Okay. All right. So let me add 17 and we're going to look at 18 because we want to play these games, but let's follow the money, Tamara Schamberger, because you out here profiting in District 5 on the backs of our children, on the failure of our children. And then you out here talking about proven leadership and proven results and how we don't need someone with training wheels. Meanwhile, you done profit on the failure of our kids. And you out here talking about we closing the achievement gap. What we not going to do is this. This is what prompted all of this, because y'all out here playing these games behind hidden profiles. But let's talk about the truth. So, OK, we talk about this now. Her information is public record. This is not me doxing her. So I just want to put that on record. All of this is public record. So don't come to me and say you put my stuff out on the Internet. This is public record. Anyone can get access to it. So you see what her net worth is. And I want you to look at the accounts. OK, so one of the assets is her home. Okay, then cash, she had 20K in a Suncoast account. One of the assets was a 2005 Acura, which she now drives a Range Rover. Okay, and then retirement account, 25K. Then we look at the liabilities. Okay, so then she has her mortgage. Okay, and then she had a lease for, looks like Volvo car lease. And I think she had just got that Volvo at the time, and then which now again she has a Range Rover, and then her student loans. Okay, so this was her salary. This is what she was making. So she works at Florida. She works at this place right here, and it's in Boca Raton. It's a insurance agency. I looked them up. So you can look at the amount and see how much she makes, and then also with her school board and what she makes. Okay, this is what she signed, and she certified this, that all of this information is correct, that she went through the ethics training, and she talked about her retirement account. And okay, now let's look at the 2018. Mm-hmm. Okay. As you can see, her net worth increased again. Okay. So we go back. So she talks about her home, which if you go back, her home had a significant increase in value. So look at that. She had a retirement account, which there was more money that was added to that retirement account. Then she had another retirement account that was added on that wasn't on the previous year. And then she had a bank account, and she had 52K in that bank account. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not sure where she got that money from, because I go back, you know, the salaries of these positions stayed the same. The income that she's reporting stayed the same. So how you got, you know, you're paying off your car and your y'all ask questions, y'all follow the money. And again, she signed it. So let's move on. OK, let's move on to the 2019. Okay. So here we go. Look at her net worth again, 167K. Okay. So it's went up again. All right. So then we go back and we look at her property. We look at her bank accounts and her retirement plans. Her retirement plans are going up. And then we look at, you know, again, you know, her liabilities. To be very clear, she has two mortgages on one home. And then she was able to pay a significant amount on her Volvo car lease from 1 year to the next. So you might want to ask questions on how she was able to pay that down. And then I want you to pay attention to this. Okay, so now she had a decrease in salary from the manager company that she has, the insurance group that she works with. Okay, and then now she added, Schamburger Insurance LLC. So in 2019, that is when Tamara Schamburger had posted that, you know, she has a franchise with Allstate, but it's not actually her franchise. She actually worked for this company, and this company owns that Allstate building, and she works at the building, and then she has the LLC with it. Okay. That's just based on following the money here. So again, I say follow the money. So this is what all of this is about. So when you out here, Tamara Schamburger, and you know, calling me a paid puppet, or when you out here talking junk to Addison Davis, like people in the district ain't going to tell me. When you out here talking about, and I just ignore all of this stuff. I just disregard it because I'm like, it is above me. I'm advocating for the kids. Now you have it. Now the receipts out here, the receipts out here, and you might want to check on the money. You might want to check why she sat silent, didn't say nothing when they voted for Idea Public Schools to come on in to tear up East Tampa. Now, I don't know if you know about Idea Public Schools. I've talked about it several times, but let's go ahead and pull it up again. Mm-hmm. Foolishness. So Idea Public Schools, they're coming, they're opening 4 campuses, and they had issues with buying jets and Spurs tickets and mismanagement of money. And I don't know if you know, but Idea Public Schools currently has a lawsuit with one of their executive leaders there. And there's a whole lawsuit pending with the CFO. So there's a whole bunch of stuff going on with Idea Public Schools. And I know a couple people that work there, and this is not in regards to you personally. You just got a job with the organization, but the organization as a whole is corrupt. And they have a lot of political ties as well. And so this is what's in East Tampa. This is what's educating your children. And you're going to see a bunch of billboards with black children all over the place in East Tampa. And they out here in different events. They over there in Silver Oaks. They out there setting tables out there in different communities out there in East Tampa. And meanwhile, your board members sat silent, didn't even tell y'all what was happening. And they got all these people, they posting all these ads and everything else. And they're not held to the same standards as our public education system, which if we did what we were supposed to do, we wouldn't have that problem. I'm over time, but I just want to just tell y'all about the technical fouls that's taking place around here, because I'm tired and I'm fed up with the lies and the BS. So people lie receipts don't. Please be intentional. Go get those receipts. And I'm fed up with the game. So with that being said, y'all have a great day. Y'all be blessed. Have a great Friday. And like I said, if y'all have receipts on me, let's bring it up and let's talk about it. But if not, please keep my name out your mouth. And please don't talk about anything that has nothing to do with this school board stuff. Because again, I don't have time. I really don't have time. Our children deserve better. People playing these games, and enough is enough. So I love y'all, and peace.
We just keep my name about your mouth.